morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. What a blessing to be here, amen? Such a blessing to be alive. I've been away. And last Sabbath, I was up in Oklahoma. Never been to Oklahoma. My first time being there. Landed at the airport. It was raining. I was going, yes, rain! It was so nice to see rain. Everything was green. I don't know about in the summer, but it was green there when I went. I was told that it's going to take me about 2.5, almost 3 hours, depending how fast I drive to this camp meeting. So I got my car rental. I had, you know what, thanks for GPS. Amen? You know, I usually depend on my wife or my daughter to GPS because I'm the driver and I just depend on them. Thank you, brother. I depend on them for direction. I'm the pilot, but they're the navigators. So I'm not familiar with GPS because I don't usually use it. So now I was by myself and I had to figure out what I needed to do. I had some instructions from Christine. Christine was giving me the direction. I said, oh, I hope my phone don't fail because I have no idea where I am in the Midwest, Oklahoma, and I'm supposed to drive to this place, which I've never been before. But praise God, God got me there safely. Took me 2.5 hours. And I said, wow, 2.5 hours here in California is a long time. Right? Because of the traffic. Well, guess what? No traffic there. It was a straight shot all the way there. And in fact, I was enjoying it so much that I rolled the window down and I started singing to the Lord. It was such a wonderful experience for me to have been there. And I'm going to talk about that, Emilio, because God is calling us out to prepare for country living. And what I saw out there was a privilege that I've met people that are already out there. And they were encouraging me. Eddie, it's time. It's time, Eddie. In fact, they so encouraged me that in a week and a half, I'm flying back out there to look at this property that they invited me. In fact, they paid for the flight. They said, Eddie, you need to be out. We're going to fly you out. I want you to see this place. I said, no, you don't have to do that. No. That's how concerned they were for me. Very sincere people that want me out. And I know, you and I know, that we need to be out already. I didn't hear an amen. We're in the cities, my friends. And it is time. I'm still in the cities. But I'm praying just like you are. I'm praying, Lord, where do you want me to be in this great country of ours? The Lord has a place for us. You know that? Amen? You got to believe that. You have to go by faith and believe that. That God has a place for us, wherever it might be. But we need to initiate it and to go by faith. So pray that we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds so that we can prepare. This is not a out of the city sermon this morning. This is a sermon this morning. It says, what does the title say? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to be prepared for this time. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And if you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way and make his what? And make the way of the Lord, make his path straight. With just an added word of prayer, I'm going to kneel. You may bow your heads as we seek the Lord this morning for divine guidance that we may understand the message that He's going to give us this morning. Father in heaven, for I am a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah says. Woe is me, Lord. But Lord, You've raised me up for this time and for this hour to give a message that Your people need to hear for this time. Father, You guide my lips, my thoughts, and my words. I ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to direct me, and that the Holy Spirit may open the hearts of Your people, that they may apply what we hear today so that we may prepare for what is coming upon this world. We love You, we praise You, and we now ask for Your mighty angels now, Lord, to surround this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to read a statement by Ellen White in Maranatha, page 254. Many do not realize what they must be in order to live in the sight of the Lord without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. She's telling us this morning, many do not realize what is required. Their robes must be spotless. Their characters must be purified. Purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. There is a special work of purification this morning, of putting away of sin. Putting away of sin among God's people upon the earth. How many of you this morning are God's people? Every hand should have gone up, yay? God's people upon the earth are to put away sin. Oh, how many, she says. Many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. They had neglected the needful preparation. We're looking at, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Maranatha 3:12. I want to set the stage for our study this morning, which I believe is a very serious message. It is not a message to scare anyone. It's a message of love. It's a message that we can prepare for what is coming upon this world. Our work here, this is Maranatha 3:12. Our work here is soon to close. How many of you and I, how many of us really believe that? You know, it took something like Even at the Doors by David Gates to present that it started to rumble the church. People were saying, oh, he's a time setter. You know, I looked at the video myself. I watched it. It was an eye-opener for me. I overlooked the time setting, because whether it is a time setting or not, the question is, are we ready for that time? Are we prepared for that time? That's what I saw in the video. How many of you saw that video? It went throughout the ranks of Adventism. I saw where it's telling us to prepare for this time that's coming. And our work here on this earth is soon to close. And every man will receive his reward according to his labor. The Bible is very clear. Faith without works is what? Dead. Every day. How many days? How many days in a year? How many days in a month? Every day bears its burden of record of unfulfilled duties. So just when you think, as I told the people in Oklahoma, just when you think nobody's watching, the whole universe is watching. It's silent in here. Why? The whole universe. And every day bears its burden of record of unfulfilled duties, of neglect, of selfishness, of deception, fraud, and overreaching. She says this, continuing, every good and every wrong act. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is telling us here in this passage to repent. You know, his message was straight. He rebuked leadership. My subject is not among leadership this morning, but it's talking about repentance. Every good, every wrong act, and its influence upon others is traced out by the searchers of hearts to whom every secret is revealed. So just when you think nobody's watching, the whole universe is watching. That woke me up as I surrendered my life to Christ, the earlier parts of my conversion story. I said, wow. Just when you think your guardian angel is writing down everything I've done, the whole universe saw what I'd done too. Ellen White continues, she says, we need the converting power of God to take hold of us, that we may understand the needs of a perishing world. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And if you're there, say amen. Ezekiel chapter 3. Are you there? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16, starting at verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not the warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Brothers and sisters, we are all called to be watchmen on the walls of Zion. Not to condemn, but to warn the people. Huh? What does it say? To warn them. Look at verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You and I have a responsibility this morning. Amen? We're not just bench warmers. We're not a bench warmer here. It's time to arise and shine, my brothers and sisters. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible tells us to repent. Turn with me to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, look at verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. But I keep the Sabbath. And not knowing that I break the first commandment? Saying of man, these have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore, speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, and I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, verse 6, say unto you, the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And our work here is soon to close. Turn with me to Ezekiel. You're there already. Ezekiel chapter 18. Go with me there. Ezekiel chapter 18. Starting at verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall what? He shall surely live. He shall not die. Verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. This text right here squashes the one saved, always saved. It cuts it off right there. Very clear. Turn with me to Ezekiel again. We're there already. Let's solidify this morning. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Repent, my friends. Ezekiel chapter 33. In this chapter, let's just read two verses here. Son of man, speak to the children of my people, of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. I have a responsibility this morning to warn God's people. It's time, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! This message is for me as well as for you. And this is John's account this morning. As I looked into this study, I started to look and search. I said, wow, Lord, show me what I need to study. And so the Lord took me to the Desire of Ages. I love this book. How about you? The Life of Christ. This is page 100 of the Desire of Ages. God had called the son of Zacharias to a great work. The greatest ever committed to men. Can you imagine that? Out of all the prophets, the patriarchs and prophets, Ellen White says here, the work was the greatest ever committed to men. Why? I thought about that. Why? In order to accomplish this work, he must have the Lord to work with him. And the Spirit of God would be with him if he heeded the instruction of the angel. John was to go forth as Jehovah's messenger to bring to men the light of God. I said, wait a minute. John was to bring the light of God?
So I went through steps to Christ. You know, they're all connected. You just got to dig deep, my friends. God gives us the answers. She says this in Steps to Christ. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened and the sinner will discern something of the depth and the sacredness of God's holy law and foundation of His government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chamber of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest.
I don't think you got that. Let's read that again, because, man, I started to look into this and I say, wow, Lord.
So John was to come to go forth as Jehovah's messenger to bring to men the light of God. And God is light. Amen? And she says this, illuminates the secret chambers of the soul of the hidden things of darkness that are made manifest. Christ comes in. John's bringing forth the message. And it's cutting the hearts of the people. Because it breaks out and shows the sins that are hidden dark in the soul. She continues. Desire of Ages, page 100. He must give a new direction to their thoughts.
You know, I remember when I was converted in my spiritual life, my thoughts started to change. The way I thought and think. You know the scripture that comes into mind where it says, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ.
He must give a new direction to their thoughts. He must impress them with the holiness of God's requirements. John came. Turn with me back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. He came preaching the message of Isaiah.
What does it say? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
And he must impress them with the holiness of God's requirements. And their need, listen, and their need for perfect righteousness.
You know, we hear theology in our churches today that, you can't be righteous. You can't have victory.
But here, according to the writings of Ellen White, perfect righteousness. Such a messenger should be holy. Amen? Such a messenger should be holy. He must be a temple for the indwelling Spirit of God.
Our bodies is a temple of God. Amen?
And in order to fulfill his mission, he must have a sound physical constitution, mental and spiritual strength. Therefore, it would be necessary for him to control the appetite and the passion. This sermon is not about diet. It's about spiritual and physical condition, constitution.
That's why God gave us the health message. Amen? So that we could understand and discern spiritual and heavenly things.
He must be able to also control all his powers, that he can stand among men as unmoved by surrounding circumstances as the rock and the mountains of the wilderness.
This is John. This message that God gave him, it was the greatest
ever committed to men. And John is giving us an example here how we should live our lives.
This is a statement from The Upward Look, page 308. In this age, what age? In this age, just prior to the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, such a work as that of John the Baptist is to be done. God calls for men who will prepare a people to stand in the great day of the Lord. The message preceding the public ministry of Christ was to repent. Why is it important to repent? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As a people who believe in Christ soon appearing, we have a message to bear. Prepare to meet thy God. Our message this morning is to be as straight and direct as the message of John. Notwithstanding that his life was imperiled, he did not hesitate to declare God's word. And our work must have a spiritual experience like his. Are you having a spiritual experience like John this morning? This is a question, no hands. This is a question that we need to address ourselves. Am I having this spiritual experience with God this morning, as John did? We must behold God, and in beholding Him, lose sight of self and behold God in beholding, losing sight of self. So why repent? Why repent? Well, I looked up that word repentance. I know the word, what it means, but I said, the Lord impressed me to go look it up and study it out. So I went to the Webster's Dictionary and looked up the word repentance. Real penitence. Sorrow or deep contrition for sin. As an offense and dishonor to God. A violation of His holy law. Repentance is a change of mind or a conversion from sin to God. Repentance is the relinquishment of any practice from conviction that it has offended God. We talked about our Sabbath school this morning on pleading for the Holy Spirit. And what happens when the power of God, the Spirit of God comes into your life? He will reprove what? Sin. And of righteousness. And of judgment. So repentance is any practice, any relinquishment of any practice from conviction that has offended God. And John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Steps to Christ, page 27. Ellen White tells us, so many are asking the same question as did the multitudes on the day of Pentecost when they were convicted of sin. They cried out, what shall we do? Turn with me to Acts. You're there in Matthew. Go to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Are you there? So many are asking
What shall we do? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Christ, in Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are we turning away? Are we relinquishing those practices that are offending God this morning? No one knows, but only God. And many are asking this morning, what shall we do? And John has told us this morning to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance includes sorrow for sin, turning away from it. You see, my friends, we can talk about the kingdom of God, but if our hearts is not right with God, what's good? What's purpose? What's the purpose of getting ready for God, for Him to come, if our hearts are not right? It includes sorrowful sin and turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see it in, it says, in its sinfulness. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Until we turn away from it in the heart, there will be no real change in the life. And John's message was to bring the light of God to men. Going back to the Desire of Ages. Page 101. As a prophet, John was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In preparing the way for Christ's first advent, he was a representative of those who are to prepare people for our Lord's second coming. I believe the Lord is coming. How about you? All. She didn't say some. She says all who would perfect holiness in the fear of God, listen, must learn the lessons of temperance and self-control. The appetites and the passions must be held in subjection to the higher powers of the mind. The self-discipline is essential to that mental strength and spiritual insight which will enable us to understand and to practice the sacred truth of God's Word. That's why it's important. We get too much sugar, what happens to your mind? Huh? If we have caffeine in our minds, in our hearts, what happens? I don't need to go into that. You know what it does to the body. And God's given us this message of health. Not because, yes, He wants to take care of our health, but for us to understand the Bible truth. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If our minds are clogged up, we can't even discern spiritual things. In the natural order of things, the son of Zacharias would have been educated for the priesthood. But the training of the rabbinical schools would have not fitted him for the work. So God did not send him to the teachers of theology to learn how to interpret the scriptures. He called him to the desert. University of the desert. Not Andrews. Not Loma Linda. Not La Sierra. Not Walla Walla. Not Pacific Union. Want me to go on? brought them to the University of the Wilderness. Why? My friends, we are bombarded here in the cities. We're bombarded. Every direction of wind is blowing on us. God is calling us out, as John did. Listen, she says, to him, the solitude of the desert was a welcome escape from society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity have become a well-nigh all-pervading. God is calling us out. That he might learn of nature and nature's God. When I was in Oklahoma, it was so clear. No traffic. Nothing in the woods. It was just like-minded believers sharing the truth with one another. It was even more beautiful when I had to drive back now, because when I was driving there, it was raining. Now, when I was driving back, it was clear and sunny and beautiful. I didn't know that that's the Bible Belt. Is that the Bible Belt? Because I was wondering, as I was coming out of the canyon, going into this town, you know, you're going 80, and all of a sudden you go 60, because the signs are saying the speed limit is dropping, and then 40, 30, 20! And you get into a town, and then I realize, this is the town? This is a town? And every corner, there was a church. The Church of the Nazarene, the Church of Assembly of God, the Baptist Church. I mean, one after another, down the line. And then there was a big barn with a big cross on there. I said, wow, where am I? The Bible Belt, somebody told me. All those states, I don't know, but the other states surrounding. But God has called him to the desert. He's calling us today out of the cities. It is a serious one. Are we preparing for this time out of the cities? For it'll be a serious one. We don't see it that way at this point. But here, John the Baptist has been led out into the desert to give a message for this time. And he's telling us this morning to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John had by nature, the faults and weaknesses common to humanity. But the touch of divine love had transformed him. Have we been transformed this morning? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is not something new to you. You already know this. I'm just reviewing it with you this morning. This text that I'm giving you, you know it. I'm just reviewing it with you. I wonder what Noah was preaching for 120 years. Oh, the same sermon again? Get ready, the flood's coming. Pretty soon they got tired of Noah. Oh, Noah, come on, Noah. You're preaching that sermon again, Noah? My friends, our message is to be as direct as was the message of John. Notwithstanding that his life was imperiled, he did not hesitate to declare God's word and our work. Our work? Our work in this age must be done as faithfully as did John. But in order to give such a message this morning, we must have a spiritual experience like his. Am I having an experience with Christ this morning. And God is calling us today. What is our answer to Him? The life of John was not spent in idleness or selfish isolation. From time to time, he went forth to mingle with men, and he was ever increased, and he was ever interested, an interested observer of what passing in the world. We're watching unto prayer this morning. We're watching the signs of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior. We're seeing it. It is clear as day. But it's like we're in mud, you know? Like, oh, I know. We need to get out. But we're moving slowly. Let alone preparing for that time. What is it going to take for us to act? It might be too late. From his quiet retreat, he watched the unfolding of events. He didn't have YouTube. He didn't have, what do you call it? He didn't have a technology that we have today where we see everything. You can go online and see what was going on in our world. I don't have television, but I have my phone, and it tells me everything what's going on. We have it at the tip of our hands. John didn't have that, but he retreated. He watched the unfolding events with vision illuminated by the divine spirit. He studied the characters of men that he might understand how to reach the heart with the message of heaven. Have you ever prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, teach me how so that I can reach someone today? Lead me to somebody today so I can give them a book, give them a DVD or whatever it might be, or even say, good morning! I was in Mortenson Hall here at the university this past week, and one of the workers there, I know she's not Adventist, but I came in and I said, good morning. She says, no, it's not a good morning. Oh. What happened? She goes, I just got robbed. She says, my storage was broken into. And all my jewelry and my money was taken. Oops. Oh, so sorry. She was angry. She was angry at the storage. She was angry with the insurance. She was just angry. But when I came, I said, good morning. She spilled her heart on me. But I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Then I encouraged her, hey, no worry. You got homeowner's insurance. The Lord's going to give us a word. What is that text, Andy? But sanctify the word of God in your heart. That he will give you a word to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that it is within you. John was illuminated by the divine spirit. We need to be guided by that Holy Spirit. Amen? He studied the characters of men that he might understand how to reach their hearts with the message of heaven. The burden of his mission was upon him. In solitude, by meditation and prayer, your time with God in the morning. We're going back to basics this morning. Back to the basics. Your time with God. My time with God. Critical to your spiritual life. Your time with God. And John is sharing, Ellen White is making it clear to us that his time, his meditation and prayer, he sought to gird up his soul for the life work before him. This is our work. This is our life work. It is the same work that John was to do, we are to do. But how are we going to fortify it if we're not spending time with God? We're not meditating on His Word. We're not memorizing Scripture.
Although in the wilderness, He was not exempt from temptation. So far as possible, He closed every avenue by which Satan could enter.
Can you imagine in the desert? There's no billboards. There's no
things that the freeways and the cities have. But He closed every avenue. That means if you have your phone, you know, the devil can use this too, you know. He can use this to detract you. One day I was going through my phone and all of a sudden, phew, where did this come from?
I don't know where that came from.
And John is giving us, Ellen White through John, in Voice in the Wilderness, He closed every avenue by which Satan could enter. What does the Bible say in Psalms 101:3? I set no wicked thing in front of my eyes. Yeah. Desire of Ages 102. Yes. But his spiritual perceptions was clear. You have clear perceptions this morning? Do you see the wiles of the devil? Are you able to see the wiles, how the devil is trying to detract you? God was going to give you discernment. He's going to give you discernment. But you have to, what? Meditate and pray. Gird up your soul for the life work for us. So far as possible, he closed every avenue by which Satan could enter. Yet, he was assailed by the tempter. In the country. You know that saying where we go out to the country, but if you bring the city with you, what good is the country, right? What good? You bring the city out there? Oh, where's my MTV? Or you're in the country? But his spiritual perceptions were clear. He had developed strength and decisions of character. And through the aid of the Holy Spirit, he was able to detect Satan's approaches and, listen, and to resist his power. Are you able to resist the devil? Or are we going, okay.
No! No way!
John found in the wilderness his school and his sanctuary. This is nothing new to you. This is nothing new to me. We're just reviewing this morning. It's the same sermon that Noah preached for 120 years. We need to be reminded because we forget. We let the world come into our lives and we get detracted. I'm not exempted from that. I have to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, just as you are too. I'm battling just like you're battling. The question is, am I meditating? Am I praying? Am I surrendering my life to Christ every day? The Bible is telling us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What am I to do? What am I doing this morning?
I have a statement that I want to read. This is a solemn This is one that you know. You can turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Amen? Ye are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Ellen White makes it even more clear in the Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 114, 115. She says, the careless and unbelieving close their eyes to the evidence which Christ has given to warn men of His coming. Could it be in this church that we are careless and unbelieving? Could it be? They seek to quiet all apprehension. Oh, He's time-setting. But they forget the real message in David's message in even at the door. They say, oh, don't worry. They forget the point. Right here. They seek to quiet all apprehension, while at the same time, the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling. It's all in our faces this morning. The only problem with us is that our hearts are not melted in Christ. And the world is hastening to the period of the revelation of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. You see, my friends, the disciples thought they knew how to handle when Christ was going to be taken away. They didn't even believe that He was going to be taken away. But when the time came, what happened to them? What happened to them? You know the story. But those who receive the light of truth as it shines upon the pathway are not in darkness that this great event should come upon them unawares. My last statement, and I'm going to close. This is Paul's triumphant testimony. I love the account of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Go with me there. Second Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to give me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. He got to a point in his life where he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. As my father said when he was in the facility, I shared this before, he said, Lord, take me. I'm ready. I said, Dad, don't say that. Please don't say that, Dad. It's God's will. For 6 months, as I went to visit him, he said, Lord, take me, I'm ready. I never fully understood what he was talking about. Dad, don't say that. Until he passed away. And as I drew the curtains, I looked at him. He was ready. That's why he could say it. He could say that. I saw him lying there. I said, Lord, you answered my prayer. Because I was praying, Lord, if it's your will, let Papa rest already. I don't like seeing him like this. For 6 months, I would pray that prayer, but when that day came, that fateful day came, I realized my prayer was answered and my father's prayer was answered. He could say, I'm ready. Take me, Lord. And Paul is telling us this morning, he said in verse 6, I am ready to be offered. We have to get to a point in our spiritual life where we can say, I'm ready, Lord. Take me. I'm ready to be offered. And at the time of my departure is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This morning, I'm going to make an appeal. I have to make an appeal. Life is too short. This is an appeal that if the Lord has been working in your heart this morning, and you want to make some changes today, who wants to join me today? You come, we'll pray. We'll pray and ask the Lord that the Lord can strengthen us in these times that are the critical hours of earth history. You know, I keep repeating the sermons of Noah. Noah! I'm sure he was telling the people, repent, turn away from your ways. No more time to play around. It's time to get serious, my friends. I'm praying this prayer every day, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm praying the prayer of David. Go read it. In Psalms 32, the prayer of David. Praise God that you came up. You have it in your your heart and the desire to have changes today. We don't have to wait till January 1st to make a resolution. We start today. Amen? We do it now. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. So where you are, you can kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. The Lord can guide us and strengthen our faith this morning. Father God, we are so grateful and thankful for the admonition of the writings of Ellen White. Father, you know each heart here. We're coming boldly to your throne of grace to ask forgiveness of our sins. Because in Scripture it tells us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Father, we're too late in time history. All the signs have been displayed in the world. You know, we say, oh, we're waiting for Jesus to come, but it's actually the opposite. It's Jesus waiting for us. We haven't fully surrendered to you. We haven't denied ourselves, and we haven't been taking up our cross. Forgive us for our neglect. Forgive us for our rebellious hearts. Selfish hearts. Disobedient heart. Whatever it might be that is separating us from you, remove it from our lives, Lord. I pray for the church today. I pray for each one that came up. And ones that are still up, Lord, I pray that you continue to place it in their hearts. We love you, Lord. We want to go home already. Please, Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says. And we're able to say, I am now offered. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers this morning. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless each of us as we prepare for the great day, the clouds of heaven.